Scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 10. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." Our speaker today is A.J. Rinaldi. A.J. works for a ministry called Evantel. He's the college ministry director, and he goes around speaking at different college campuses, helping students to learn both what the gospel is and how to share it. And he'll be speaking again tonight at 7 o'clock. Please welcome A.J. Rinaldi.
Good morning. That was weak. And my voice is weak this morning because I've got this. You ever had that like tickle right here because you've got a cold and it just sits there and you just want to cough all the time? I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. That's where I am this morning. So bear with me and please forgive me if I happen to go off into some kind of a coughing fit here. Hopefully I won't. Hopefully I can get through this. The good news for you guys is that means that I'll probably go short. Probably won't keep you here too long. So how do we answer this question? How do I love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind? Now, I have to preface, before I attempt to answer this big question, for those of you who are Bible, theology, and philosophy majors, okay, listen very carefully. I'm not attempting to establish a new doctrine or to set up some system of theology that you go out of here and say, "Oh, this is the only truth. This is the only way of looking at this." This is just a simple guy's way of trying to put into a concrete form something that we all see as this nebulous idea that we can't possibly attain. So please keep that in mind as we kind of look at these points this morning. To answer the question, we really have to consider, what do we think this looks like? And also, what does the world think this looks like? Because a lot of this is wrapped up in our Christian witness, really. It's how do we reflect God? How do we reflect Christ, who He is, to those around us? That has a lot to do with loving God with our heart, with our soul, and with our mind. Now, I have a story that I want to share that kind of illustrates how this can be misconceived in a lot of contexts. This story begins in Ireland with a man, let's just call him Pat, good Irish name. And Pat had two brothers. One brother moved to Australia and the other brother moved to the States. That's here, by the way, United States, for those of you who don't know, for you history majors. So Pat moved into a new town and, of course, as a good Irishman would do, he has to find the local pub where he knows he can go hang out. So he goes to this local pub, he sits down and he orders three ales all at the same time, three beers. So the bartender brings him the three ales, puts them on the table, walks away. Pat drinks all three at the same time. Well, this goes on for a number of weeks. Pat comes in at the same time, the same day of the week. And after a while, the bartender gets up the courage. He realizes Pat's pretty much a regular by this time. He says, "Pat, I can't help but notice that you come in here and you order three ales, but you order them all at the same time, you drink them all at the same time. Wouldn't it be a lot better if you just drank one at a time? They'd be fresh that way." Pat says, "Well, no, see what it is. My brothers and I, we used to have a tradition. We'd get together every Thursday night, 7 o'clock, have a drink, talk about life. So we agreed when they left the country that we would continue this tradition and we would share a drink together at the same time every week." Bartender said to Pat, "That's a fantastic tradition. That's really special. I understand now. That's really cool." So this goes on for about a year. And finally, after about a year or so, Pat comes in, he orders his usual three beers, sits down, but he looks very down. Something is clearly wrong. So after a while, the bartender comes up and says, "Pat, I can't help but notice something's really bothering you. What's on your mind?" Pat says, "Well, you know, my brother lives in Australia. He doesn't really live near a big city and really good medical care, but we've gotten word that he's taken very ill. So we're quite worried about him, and we're not sure what's going to happen." The bartender says, "I'm very, very sorry to hear that. I'll certainly keep him in my thoughts and my prayers." The very next week, Pat comes back to the bar, as he does every Thursday night, and instead of ordering three ales, he only orders two. So after a while, the bartender comes to Pat and says, "Pat, I just want to offer my condolences to you. I'm very sorry for your loss. Pat looks at him with this look, very curious. What are you talking about? What do you mean my loss? He says, well, last week you told me about your brother that was ill, and this week you came in after more than a year. You've been coming in and ordering 3 ales every time you come in. You only ordered 2. I could only assume that your brother who was sick has passed away. Oh, Pat's face lit up bright, big smile. Oh, no, my brother's fine. In fact, he had a full recovery. It's not that at all. You see, my wife, she had us join the Baptist church down the road, and I can't drink anymore, but it hasn't affected my brothers at all. See, we kind of want to put this idea of the Christian witness. How do we express our love of God in don't drink, don't chew, you know, don't smoke, don't go with girls and guys who do, right? All this kind of stuff. I don't know about your generation, but I was certainly raised with this idea that somehow we could distill the Christian witness into this list of do's and don'ts, which really is not what sets us apart from all the other religions in the world. If you think about that, it's limiting what God can do with our lives. We have to let go of that and really realize, how in the world do we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind? So, like I said, this is just a simple guy's concept of how we put into concrete form that which is at sometimes really hard to grasp. So we're going to talk about 3 aspects of the Christian witness real quickly. I think if we look at it this way, we can kind of get our minds around, what am I called to do as a believer and a follower of Jesus, okay? The first thing is, let's look at this term, love the Lord with our heart. I'm sure a lot of you here are very interested in issues of social justice, benevolence, philanthropy. It is a very real thing that we are blessed in this country as Christians to not only be able to express our faith without fear of retribution, but we have been given blessings as never before seen among Christian nation to be able to share with others. And Jesus definitely called us, you know, use those things that God has blessed you with to bless others, not only around the world, but right next door. I saw a slide come up about serving in a soup kitchen, something, an opportunity that you all have as students to go out and serve others. This is very much what we are called to do as believers. This is one way in which we can express our love of God by serving other people that are in need, physically. It's an outpouring of the heart. And again, I want to remind you, and I'm probably going to get tired of hearing me say this, okay? I'm not setting up some new system of doctrine. I don't want y'all who, I know how young minds think, and you want to be analytical and say, well, now how does the heart relate to the physical? Well, just think of it as it's physical, the heart. It's your heart. It's that within you that desires to reach out and help others. Whether it's benevolence, philanthropy, social justice, feeding the hungry, putting clothes on the poor. Those things we are definitely called to do. Now the second is loving the Lord your God with your soul. Now, how in the world do we take this concept, loving God with our soul, and consider this as far as who we are and what we do? Well, this is a spiritual aspect. This is kind of how I break this down. Again, just trying to put into concrete terms something that's very hard to grasp. But what does that mean, and what does that look like? Well, we spoke earlier about the fact that evangelism from start to finish is the work of the Holy Spirit. Nothing could be truer. That is just a fantastic statement. And it's all the Spirit's work when we reach out to others with the gospel. Now, we are called to be the mouthpiece. But the converting, that's God's job. Contact is ours. So when we are being obedient and loving God with our soul, that is an expression of the Holy Spirit working through us to proclaim His gospel, to inviting unbelievers to join us in reconciliation with God by putting our trust in Christ. This is where evangelism lives. Now, some of you might go, wait a minute. I thought evangelism was also just as much the physical. Well, it's kind of like saying which wing of an airplane is more important. We serve and we earn the right to share, but without the words, evangelism has not taken place. That's just kind of a little preview of tonight, by the way. But ultimately, what it boils down to is for us to kind of understand, okay, we serve others with our heart. We're giving. We're serving. We're sharing. We're proclaiming. This is with the soul. We're loving the Lord our God with our soul. Now, what about the mind? Well, when we love God with our mind, it's by turning it on. I'm sure many of you, particularly in this generation, there has been a misunderstanding about faith and reason. And can faith and reason live together? Well, they most certainly can, and they most certainly should. And how do we practice this loving God with our mind? Everybody in here, whether you know it or not, you have a systematic theology. Everyone in here. Now, some of you might be sitting there doing your homework or talking to your boyfriend or whatever, thinking, "Not systematic theology, I don't even know what that means, much less how could I have it?" You do. Everybody in here, no matter what it is that you think about God, you have a way that you think about God. Now, as followers of Christ, what we need to be thinking about is, how does this apply to me and my Christian witness to others? Now, with that is this term apologetics. How many of you have heard this term before? I figured most of you probably have. This is another thing that's often mistaken for evangelism. Well, wait a minute. If I share the gospel with somebody, doesn't this mean that I really should be a Bible scholar? I really ought to be able to answer each and every question that somebody has about why I believe what I believe. Well, the easy answer and quick answer is no, it doesn't mean that at all. Because there is always one answer that is correct pretty much all of the time, and you'll understand what I mean when I say what it is. And for those of you who are thinking back to your Sunday school days, Jesus, well, no, in this case, that's not the right answer. The right answer is, I don't know. You know what? It's okay to say, I don't know. If you're asked a question about what you believe and why you believe it, or if you're asked a question about Scripture, what does this mean? If somebody brings a point up to you and says, this right here doesn't seem to jive with this, how can you explain that? Too often we get caught in this trap of thinking that we have to be able to answer each and every person's question every single time. And the fact of the matter is that it's okay to say, I don't know. And it also gives you a great opportunity to follow up later and say, you know, I don't know the answer to that question, but I can get back to you later, and I'll be glad to answer that question then. It does two things. One, it gives you an opportunity for follow-up, and two, it gives you the answer for the next time you're asked the question. You'll know it. And in doing so, you will also grow in your own faith system. There's this saying that I really love, and I can't remember the guy. It's not my own. I can't remember who said it originally. I'd love to quote him. But he said something like this, that authentic faith is always in conversation with doubt. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to not know the answer to the questions. But find out the answer. So how do these three work together? Well, you'll notice there's like arrows here. You see, in serving others, you're going to have the opportunity to be able to share your faith. One of the things that I do as part of my position as a ministry director at Evantel is I get to work with disaster relief folks all over the world, actually. I've spent a little bit of time in Haiti and other areas. This all began for me. In fact, it's one of my first loves. Back, you'll have to take this on faith. But I was in the Army many years ago. I was actually a paratrooper. I know looking at me now, you'd find that very hard to believe. But reaching out to those who have experienced the most serious trauma of all, how in the world are you able to share Christ with them in the midst of that tragedy? I worked with a group of guys not too long ago who were very good at managing disaster relief, at helping others. But they got to the second part here. People would ask them, why are you doing this? Why are you here? And they had to look honestly and say, you know, I didn't know how to answer that question. So what we did was put together a program for them to help them learn how to answer that question. The fact of the matter is, you're not going to be able to answer it the same way in every instance. The message does not change. The method has to. Another preview for tonight. But regarding this sort of wheel, okay, so you're serving others, whatever the context, whether it's in disaster relief, whether it's in the soup kitchen, whatever the case may be, you're earning the right to explain why you're doing it. And hopefully you're doing it because it's Christ-centered. It's an outpouring of your faith. Well, naturally, Most of the time when you share your faith, you're going to end up with people who want to know more. So it's important that we be exercising our intellectual capacities to be able to reason with those people. And this is not unbiblical, by the way. Paul did it. In the interest of time, I'm not going to go in and read all of the scripture passages that were up here earlier. But Paul, in Acts, some of you may recall this, he reasoned with the philosophers. And he reasoned, by the way, with the Jews in the synagogues from the Old Testament scriptures about who Jesus was exactly. This is not an unbiblical concept. We should definitely be exercising our minds as believers. So this is really kind of a holistic way. Again, taking that question is of how do I love the Lord, my God, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind. These are three aspects of the Christian witness that we can all utilize in our daily lives, in little ways and in big ways, kind of like some of the ones that I've mentioned. Now, that number three, I know, is a great number, right? I mean, it's pi, 3.14, for you math majors out there. You got any math majors in here? I'm sure we've got some, right? You know, there's never going to be a shortage of math professors, right? You know why? They multiply. For those of you who don't get it, you math majors who don't get it, ask a biology major. They'll explain it to you. Anyway, listen, I would invite you, I want to close by saying tonight is going to be a lot of fun. I am going to talk about what is the gospel. What is the gospel? There is an answer to that question, and it comes straight from Scripture. I'm going to tell you what that is. And for those of you who are out here today and who may wonder, you know, I've kind of heard this before about Jesus. I've heard the gospel. I'm going to a Christian college, but I've never really owned this for myself. I would encourage you to come tonight because I am going to be talking about what the gospel is, what exactly is saving faith. And then for those of you who are really interested in getting a little bit deeper with how do I share that faith in a way that, even though I said getting deeper, that is simple and clear. That's the key thing. It has to be clear for somebody to truly understand it. So I would encourage you and invite you. I'd love to see you out there tonight, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have. So to close our time this morning, let me pray for us, and then I will turn it over to Katie. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. Thank you for this group of young people who you have called to this place at this time. And I just pray that as we go out from here, that you would help us to be focused on how we can live out our witness to truly honor you. As a child honors his parent by reflecting those things, those values that that parent finds important. I pray that we might reflect those things that you find important by truly loving you with our hearts, with our souls, with our minds, with all of our strength. And we just thank you again for the privilege that we are here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.